The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Pro Wrestling Unscripted on this February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. Hope you had a good one. If you listened to the show last night, you most certainly did not. I want to thank you for tuning in to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We got a big week full of news to cover here. We're going to talk about Elimination Chamber. We're going to talk about Raw. A couple people are retiring. Someone might be retiring permanently from life. And to talk with me about this stuff is the one and only five-star man, Asa Gray, at the end of the table.
Yes.
Allie, not actually a bear.
Hello.
Next to me. That's my nickname for her. It's adorable. And then the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton, how much fun did you have last Thursday on the first episode of Podzilla After Dark? Which, by the way, ratings through the roof for Podzilla After Dark. It is the most popular show on the network right now. And I want to thank you guys. Sleaze Sells. If you didn't already know Joey Ryan, that he was right. Anyway, let's start off with breaking news. This is coming out of Hollywood. Dalton didn't want me to talk about it, so we're going to. Kendall Jenner.
God.
Can we talk about Kendall Jenner?
No.
Apparently, she was photographed wearing an NWO shirt, Wolfpack shirt, and she's been offered honorary membership into the Wolfpack by Conan.
Even more reason to not like Conan. You know what his podcast is called?
Keeping It 100.
Viva La Ra-
Keeping It 100.
What?
Yeah.
Never mind. But moving on.
Can we edit that part out? You can just do the what and be like, yeah, and that's why we don't talk about the Kardashians.
No. No, but that was the last time I ever talked about the Kardashians. Let's move on to Stride. Real news. We attended the Stride show over the weekend. That depresses me so much. I always hated Conan. Now I really hate him. We attended the Stride show in Marion last Saturday. He never...
It caught me off guard because, like, you were talking about Stride and you're like, it depresses me. So I'm like, why? We had a great time.
No, Stride was really, really good. It was me and Allie. It was our second show. You guys, this was your third, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And it was a great, great card from top to bottom. It was a lot of fun. Crowd was energetic. Mm-hmm. Some parts of the crowd were a little too energetic. We're going to get to that in a second. Give me your thoughts about that show.
Positive.
I loved it.
No, yeah, it was great.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was good.
And Allie's met her quota for the night.
The most depressing part about going to Stride was that I really wanted to eat at this Chinese place in the mall that you guys built up as really good.
It is really good.
I just wanted to have it. So, of course, we ended up not having it. Instead, we ended up having, what was it, Steak and Shake,
yeah, yep. Steak and Shake.
With Farmer Billy Hills, Sweet Sarah Summers, Tony Flood.
Mm-hmm. Who is unemployed. So I don't know how he was.
He was there for Alexa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
his wife Alexa was there.
Yeah.
And I can say, without hyperbole, that it was the most awkward dinner I've ever had in my life. If you've never had dinner with wrestlers,
you're missing out.
And maybe it's just this particular set of wrestlers, because Billy Hills is
a national treasure.
As the kids say, he's a trip.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
But the combination of him and Sarah and Tony and Alexa was just, there were parts
hilarious.
That's one way of putting it. Another way of putting it was like, kind of embarrassing, kind of awkward. I kept turning to Asa going, oh my God, I'm not even going to get into the stories that we heard at the show, but it involved John Moxley. It involved pants made out of cheese. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
So the Stride show that we were there for,
also,
that we actually covered.
Yeah.
Also there were two other guys there, and I want to get their names because they seemed really cool. Was it Cash Borden?
Cash Borden and Dalton Diamond.
Yeah,
they were there as we left, as we were coming in.
As we came in, they were leaving. Mm-hmm. But that was a fun dinner, and Billy Hills really is a national treasure. And so is Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tony and his wife listen to the show. I know Billy and Sarah do. And they're always a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we started going to Stride originally, but now we've become a fan of Stride itself.
Yeah.
And there was the big, big show of new tag champions.
This isn't the big show.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big show.
It was a big show. Because
their anniversary show is going to be next month.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in a couple weeks.
And it looks good as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, that card looks really, really good so far.
But this card, good top to bottom. I'm a big fan of El Fabuloso and El Magnifico.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're also national treasures. Just, I wish they could be our national treasures.
Yeah. We can't claim them.
We can't claim them. T-Dog, my first time seeing T-Dog, who, I think you guys told me he was like the John Cena of Stride. And definitely crowd support, good guy. And there was a woman sitting in front of us that we talked to back and forth the entire night who was very knowledgeable about it. And she was filling me in on a lot of the stuff, like where he got his nickname and stuff like that. So that was cool.
Yeah.
The crowd was really cool. I just want to say that.
Oh, yeah. No, that crowd was awesome.
And it usually is too.
Yeah. No, I haven't. There hasn't been a bad night so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Cash Borden, T-Dog match was the only one that felt kind of like weird for the crowd. And I think I don't think it's really anybody's fault. It's just because the last show that we went to saw, I guess, the return of Cash Borden.
Yeah.
Where I guess after Dalton Diamond turned his back on him.
Yeah.
So he came back for revenge against Dalton Diamond. So the crowd was excited to see him at that show and to see him feud with Dalton going forward. But then this show, you have T-Dog, who is like they're real big, just kind of like real big baby face. And then Cash Borden comes out, who we just saw turn face, but then he also was like leading in chants, but he was doing it almost mockingly.
Yeah, and when he came out, he kind of looked at the crowd and said, "What? No reaction?" Because they weren't cheering. It was very antagonistic. He seemed like a bad guy.
And then he even did like a thumb to the eye at one point.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like I think the crowd would have gotten behind him. It was just a matter of.
But then in the most confusing part, Dalton Diamond comes out.
In a referee shirt.
Yeah.
Which made no sense other than I couldn't tell which one was Dalton Diamond, which one was Lane Austin.
Right.
We were confused.
Oh, I even told Lane, I didn't know what to do for a minute because I was like, whoa, who's who?
Yeah, it was confusing. Yeah. And I want to apologize to Lane Austin, sexy ref, hashtag sexy ref. That's how you refer to him.
And we even got to see a debut this timeout, Eugene Drip in that Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is just amazing. Love him.
He was a referee at the last show.
Yeah, he was a referee at the last show.
What was he weigh? 24 pounds?
Yeah.
He was a little guy, but he was so damn entertaining. Yeah. He really was.
And then he hit real hard, too. Like,
he was a couple
of those kicks to, like, JD.
Those drop kicks, especially. Like, he was going all over the ring.
Yeah. No, he was just firing that. And then,
that's the thing with this show versus the last show. The last show I thought was fun, but I really didn't know the characters as much. I didn't. And the in-ring action was good, but because I didn't know a lot of the people. I knew Billy and Sarah. That's it.
Yeah.
This one, I was more familiar with the characters. I thought the in-ring action was better. The crowd, I mean, I don't know if sold out is the right term, but the crowd
was full.
There were people standing. Yeah. It was absolutely full.
So yeah, this seemed like a big show and I can't wait for the next one.
And that tag team match. Like I have all the matches right here.
Yeah. Just run down the card real quick.
Yeah. So we had a Eugene Drip versus DJ Wilk versus El Fabuloso versus
JD
Wilk. Oh, he put it backwards on mine.
JD Wilk, who you might also remember from Cape Championship Wrestling, and he's going to be with Cage Chaos.
Yeah, he's going to be in Tag Team Warfare with Jason Vaughn.
Yep.
So JD Wilk, El Fabuloso, and Dexter Roswell. El Fabuloso won that one.
Because that was the number one contendership for the Legacy title.
Which is T-Dog's
championship. Yes.
And then you had Billy Hose versus Scott Phoenix. Scott Phoenix won because Lane doesn't know how to turn around.
Which that was I know this isn't the Billy Hills is amazing podcast, but Billy Hills is amazing.
So he was taking requests from the crowd because
at one point it was just him throwing around Scott Phoenix.
Because he's much bigger than Scott Phoenix. Scott Phoenix, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from him, but
Scott Phoenix has been one of my favorite Stride competitors since my first show. There's just something about him that.
But he's a little guy. He's a skinnier guy.
He's a smaller guy.
He's definitely a cruiserweight.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Hills is definitely a super heavyweight.
Yeah.
And Billy was just tossing the kid around.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, I guess Billy got bored. He decided to take requests from the audience, which, by the way, I have never seen in wrestling. Anywhere, any show. We told him to do a powerbomb. He did a powerbomb. A bunch of kids told him to sit on him. He did.
Sat on him. It worked.
And then the best, he did an RKO.
The other side of the ring, like, do an RKO out of nowhere. He's just like, I haven't done one of those before. And he does it.
Yeah, and he's just like, how do I do it from out of nowhere? Like, that was another great part, because he was like, do I just, like, stick my arms out? Like, what do I do for it to be out of nowhere?
But it didn't pin him.
It didn't.
Or he's going to be pissed.
Yeah. Scott Phoenix won that because of Axe Allwork came out and hit Billy with a chain.
Damaging sticking together.
Hate you, Beauregard. We had Brian Richards, who was Dexter.
Something about that Beauregard looks familiar.
Yeah. Dexter Roswell's bodyguard, Brian Richards, wrestled El Magnifico.
To hell with him. To hell with him.
Stop
because
this.
Here's what happened. This little punk ass comes out. He's not wearing sleeves. I'm not wearing sleeves, but only because it's warm. It's warm, and Mr. 100 is a big guy. He likes to be breezy. They call me Mr. Breezy sometimes.
No, we've never once said that.
So I'm sitting in the crowd. He comes out. I didn't even say anything to him.
Mm-hmm.
I may have booed him. And he looks at me, and he says, what are you doing with sleeveless? Put some sleeves on. Maybe get bigger arms. You can be sleeveless. And I kind of shuddered and covered myself, embarrassed. But in my head, I was thinking, my arms are bigger than yours.
I mean, you just have to live with the fact you let someone wearing suspenders and a belt talk to you like that.
That happened. That was a thing.
I don't know these guys enough to rush in the ring and slap them.
And you never will.
But I could because there's no barriers.
So he was wrestling El Magnifico. El Magnifico won via DQ because Roswell came out. Dalton Diamond wanted a title shot. He was demanding one, so Heath Hatton came out and wrecked his day.
Which, that was actually a really funny bit, too, because I came in. It was right after intermission, so yeah. I came in, and Diamond was in the GM's face. And he's like, well, here, you won a championship. Here you go. It's in this bag. He opens up the bag. There's nothing in here. Yeah, you're the new Stride Nothing champion. That was funny. And then Heath Hatton comes out and spears the ever-loving hell out of Dalton Diamond.
And he gave some very funny... yells and screams when he took it. That was funny. Reminded me a lot of Sexy Sarge at the first season.
Yeah. Then after that, we had Cash Borden versus Jerry Travelstead, which is T-Dog. We've already... And Dalton Diamond interfered, making a DQ. Then we had Axe Allwork, Chris Hargis, and Roger Mathis, which is the number one contendership for the Stride Championship. Roger Mathis of Midwest Mafia won that match.
That was a really good match.
And it was a really, really good match. And then we had the tag team, which was the main event of the night. Team Triple X, which were the champions going in. Versus
Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly.
Yes, versus Midwest Mafia, which was Jay Capone and Red Daniels. And that match was fantastic.
It was good. Here's what took me out of the match. You know what I'm going to say? Mm-hmm. There was a group of fans in the front row who took probably 7-8 seats. And not only were they fans of the front row, but they came equipped with Midwest Mafia shirts, Red Daniel signs. And all right, now Dalton is going to look at me angrily because he doesn't want me to say things like this because we're friendly with these guys, but it frustrates me when you see a show like this and you've got what's either family or friends coming here and, you know, cheering you on and you're the bad guy. You're the one that they're supposed to hate, and it creates confusion. And I feel like you're doing a disservice to the people in the ring. When you're not,
because that's kind of like, because that's what we do.
When you're not playing along,
when we go to CCW, that's, you know, as much as we're friends with Billy, we're friends with Brandon.
We boo the
hell out of them. And to Midwest Mafia's absolute credit,
they didn't play up to it.
Yeah, they weren't playing up to it. No. Like,
and I don't think that's up to their credit. I don't think they like people. I'm not 100% sure they like each other. Have you seen Jake Capone? Who can like Jake
Capone?
He's
so mean.
He is the meanest.
He's yelled at us every time we've gone.
Yes, for the first time that he yelled at us, he looked at Asa and said, "Get in the ring." This man is three aces.
He also
aces.
Dared me to get in the ring last time.
Aces is three. Like, he is three aces.
But don't let that take anything away from the match. It was a great match, and the Midwest Mafia are great. Team Triple X are great. But that's just something that irritates me.
And honestly,
I can't lie about it.
It's not my favorite thing to see, but this was a better example of it because they weren't playing up to it, as opposed to Brandon tends to play to his section of the crowd.
Slaps when hands.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. We drew comparisons to Mojo Rawley because Mojo Rawley would bring his family to NXT tapings, to cheer him on.
Yeah.
And the reason I mention this because I feel like we can't give them a pass and be critical of someone else for the exact same thing.
Yeah. And I completely understand that. Thank you. They did not play into it at all.
No.
They were determined. They were not there to make fans.
And I'll even say I think it gave the match a more interesting dynamic because then it was like we were cheering on Team Triple X as was quite a few other people. Like, I mean, it's not like we were the only ones that were cheering on Triple X.
And it's not unheard of for a heel team to get
cheered
because there's always going to be people in the crowd that like that the bad guys are cool.
Yeah. And it's just kind of our the way that we go into these shows is we are here to support what you're doing.
Yes.
So when you're being a bad guy, we are going to treat you like a bad guy. If you're being a good guy,
which is
it's the same thing. Like being in contact with these guys from Stride, we're always very complimentary of them.
Yeah.
Like we tell even Midwest Mafia, like, yeah, no, they're awesome. Like I want a Midwest Mafia t-shirt.
Yeah.
I would have
loved
to see them as part of the tag team Turmoil at CCW this month.
That would be fantastic.
But when we're at the show, you know,
it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show, you probably know that wrestling is scripted. You have to know that.
This podcast is unscripted.
This podcast is unscripted, but you have to know that wrestling is scripted. And a lot of these guys that we talk about, we are actually friends with. We've become friends with through the show and through their show. But, you know, you can't not call a spade a spade. And that is definitely something that I didn't agree with. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it's just a pet peeve going in.
It bugs the CCW.
But the bright side of this was just the chanting.
It was great. And that really did add a dynamic to the main event. You're absolutely right on that. Instead of it just being yay, boo, whenever they did it, there was a part where that group would go, what was it like?
Mafia.
And then me, Asa, Dalton, and Allie would yell, sucks.
And eventually other people in the crowd, like other people joined in with us as well. Because
they were a loud group, and they were, I will give them credit, they were cheering through a lot of it, because I was watching that.
Oh, yeah, and
again, yeah, they weren't silent.
They were not silent. No. Yeah, we have been at CCW, and sections of people have been quiet until a certain wrestler comes out. I'm not going to say who.
I won't name names.
But it has happened. That front row, they were involved throughout the show. They were involved throughout the show, and they were, I mean.
And that's why I would give it a pass. That's why it's not going to make my list of things I hate.
Right.
But it was a little confusing, I'm sure, to people going,
and again,
well,
and part of this, and again, it's wrestling school. There are other students there. So they're cheering on their friends, whether, you know.
Right.
Which, again, just almost seems counterintuitive to you're working to, you know, you want a certain crowd reaction. So to cheer someone on because you like them, going opposing what they're going for seems counterproductive, but that's an element that I can't really speak on just because I've never been there.
Exactly.
And that's a line we walk every time we go into Cape Championship Wrestling is we play along. We don't cheer Billy. We don't cheer Brandon because we want to push the narrative they are telling.
Right.
As opposed to
Billy's
taking
not going
our
out there. He's not going out there to make fans.
No. Dalton, tell us about the upcoming 1 year anniversary show.
I haven't even seen it. They made a poster for it. Let me give me 1 second, but it's their 1 year.
I know I saw the, it looks like Triple X and Heath Hatton against all three members of the Midwest Mafia.
Wow.
Midwest Mafia.
And I'm willing to say whenever I send this to my contact at Stride that I will get a response to this, but it does look like it's going to be for all the gold. By the way the background looks and the way everything looks, it looks like it's going to be every belt on the line in this one match.
And we, of course, want to send our congratulations out to Heath Hatton and Stride for the 1 year anniversary. And
We're coming in late, but that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep you updated on Stride on the show, like what the matches are going to be. Dalton will get in touch with his contact. Very secretive, very under the table.
It also looks like El Fabuloso will get his match against T-Dog.
Yeah, for the...
For the Legacy
Something about that El Fabuloso, though.
Well, like, so you didn't get to see, you didn't get to see all the wrestlers that we got to see whenever we were at the show by ourselves, but he just, the There's body, the, like, the it. Body size is very familiar to another wrestler, but I can't put my finger on it.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll keep you updated on Stride. Moving on to Cape Championship Wrestling, our home promotion here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Some huge news.
Yeah.
Huge news. Now, Mr. 100 was aware of this before the fact. He did not break the story online because because it was one of those things that I decided not to do. I hinted at it. And you might say, but Mr. 100, how did you know these things? Well, I also have contacts. I have secrets. At Tag Team Turmoil, Tag Team Warfare. Is it Turmoil or Warfare?
Warfare.
Warfare. At Tag
Turmoil
Team Warfare.
Was the Elimination Chamber match.
Yes.
Because that's what I kept getting confused to.
Not only will you see the tag team tournament to crown the first tag team champion of Cape Championship Wrestling, but Brandon Barbed Wire has been pulled from the tournament because he is going to defend his title against Allie. Say it.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Broken Matt Hardy is coming to Cape Girardeau to wrestle Brandon Barbed Wire for the Cape Championship Wrestling Championship.
Yeah.
And, Brandon, let that sink in.
That's awesome. The front row sold out in under 4 minutes initially. This was before the Matt Hardy announcement.
Yeah.
I think they still had some, like a couple second row seats.
Those are gone now.
And a handful of third row seats, but the only thing that's left is general admission, which it's the AC Braze Arena again,
which is where they had it when Ricochet was here.
Yeah. Yep.
And you remember how quickly that sold out and how packed it was. Yeah. Matt Hardy is going to be even bigger.
So there's still balcony seats available. I think general admission counts for the rows behind third row as well.
Yeah, everything past third.
So
Matt, I will say this. Matt Hardy was the first wrestler I ever saw live in person. Was Matt Hardy. He was in the first match I ever saw. I've always been a Matt Hardy fan. We've discussed before the dark timeline and the terrible things, and he's really bounced back as both a performer and seemingly as a person, which is the best part.
Yeah.
The demons seem to be in order. And I'm excited to see him in Cape. I will say that I have talked to Brandon Barbed Wire.
I have, yeah, I best say I have too.
And I've never seen the champ nervous. I've seen him avoid. I've seen him boasting. I've never seen him nervous. But the moment he heard that the Matt Hardy was coming to fight him for his gold, and the Hardy's quest for gold, by the way, this is what they're doing, the champ's nervous. We are going to have an exclusive interview with Brandon Barbed Wire. We're actually doing a video interview with him that's going to be for the YouTube channel, which we're going to have up within the week. That is my guarantee. We'll talk about it after the show. Dalton's giving me hand signals, and I don't know what they mean. He's pointing at me.
Which one of us is going to do it?
He's starting smoke signals. Remember that time he said we're going to talk about it after the show?
Maybe Allie.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
She seems to be the one that the champ dislikes the most. So
yeah,
I'm sassy.
We're gonna talk to Brandon about the match with Matt Hardy, and
I don't know, that broke me a little bit. Just the delivery of it,
just the non sassy delivery of I'm sassy.
We'll have it on the YouTube channel. We'll give you guys a link, and we're also gonna have the audio for next week's show. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to that. It's big. We're so excited about that. Also, yep. Davey Richards and his wife Angelina Love will be there. They'll be signing autographs because Davey Richards could not make it to the last show. Mm-hmm. And then Colt Cabana's coming in April. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you have not yet jumped into indie wrestling because you're a fan of mainstream wrestling, mm-hmm. it's time. It's time to jump into it. If you're in this area between Stride and Cape Championship Wrestling, big things are happening. You owe it to yourself to go check these shows out.
And even, because I know we have a lot of listeners everywhere, you know.
There are local promotions
everywhere. Sarge has his in Tennessee.
Union Champion, or Union City Wrestling.
Austin Lane has his, it's not like his promotion, but like I think he has his home promotion. Down in Arkansas. So in Arkansas, Hollis in Kansas City, St. Louis.
Yeah. There's so many places
everywhere. It's not, and you know, as into it as we get with Stride and with CCW, there's a chance for you to be able to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, we're not special.
We're not. We bought front row tickets and we were loud and it might have helped that we were there to kind of help push the narrative.
Yeah.
Because that's our philosophy on being fans.
Well, here's the difference between Cape Championship Wrestling and Stride. With Cape Championship Wrestling, we were there on the ground floor. Me, Tanner, and Allie. We were there the first show. Unfortunately, Allie couldn't make the second show, but then you guys joined in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we became a part of Cape Championship Wrestling. I know we're not employed by Cape Championship Wrestling, by the way.
No.
But I feel like our blood is in it in a way because we have been there on the front lines with those guys since the beginning.
Right.
Stride was doing just fine without us.
Oh, yeah.
They have been a promotion.
And still
before.
Are.
Yeah. We could not be there and they'll still be successful. So Cape Championship Wrestling, don't get me wrong. But the point is if you feel like you had to be there when it started or you have to be a celebrity like the cast of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, you don't have to be. Just go support your local federations. Support these wrestlers. Be vocal. These wrestlers, I know the WWE guys are great. They're great athletes, but these guys are really the unsung heroes. These are the guys that are going out there for probably very little money. They do it because they love it. They love their craft. Mm-hmm. They just want to be there and they want to entertain you. So absolutely go support them.
And, you know, it's one of those things too where they clearly love it and they're damn good at it.
A lot of the time.
I mean, you're going to see people who are learning and are, you know, aren't as good as other guys, but they're the passion is there. And then the people who are good are so good.
I think there is a stigma on indie wrestling to some people that they think, well, this isn't mainstream, so it's not going to be as good.
So they can't, it's, yeah, you're
these guys
like,
aren't going to be
oh, well,
as
they
good
couldn't
good
make
wrestling.
It in WWE.
Right. That
which,
is
again,
absolutely
yeah,
false.
Which is way untrue.
Some of the guys in CCW and Stride are so good, I don't want them to go to WWE because I think they'll ruin them.
Yeah.
Billy Hills, Brandon Barbed Wire, Heath Hatton is fantastic.
Yeah.
The Midwest Mafia. I am scared to see them go to a place where they're treated poorly because here, they can do not whatever they want, but they have more freedom.
I mean, they have more freedom. And also, you know, it's just kind of like we've gotten very protective. Whenever Brandon and Hollis were up on the top rope, on the cage at the last show.
We were going, no.
And we're both just like, no, just use your words.
Yeah.
We don't hurt each other.
Hug it out.
Yeah.
Oh. We also know that one of the teams, two of the teams are going to be affected because of the Matt Hardy thing. And then there was an injury. Because Sarah's not going to be there. Or she's not wrestling.
I don't know if that's even been announced. We might be breaking that news right now.
Well, she told me on Saturday.
She told us all on Saturday.
As we understand, Sarah Summers is out. So that means Brandon and SP Espinoza needs a new partner, as does Blaster. So,
which if they end up together, then we would need another team or someone gets a bye.
I do like the idea of Blaspinoza.
Blaspinoza.
That is a good team. But as always, we're going to keep you updated on this. But again, Matt Hardy coming to Cape Championship Wrestling on February 25th.
Yep.
At the AC Brazzers Arena.
Oh, that's next week.
Yeah, it is. Get your tickets now while you still can.
Yep.
Come see Pro Wrestling Unscripted, see the Podzilla Gang, and also watch some wrestling. Okay. Moving on. That is our local report, and that's 25 minutes in, by the way.
Ooh, all right. I don't have enough to yell about that main event in Raw, though.
Let's talk about Elimination Chamber real quick. Just a couple of things. The new chamber. What did we think?
Ugly.
I liked it. The more I watched it, the more I liked it. The only complaint that I really have, and it's not a real complaint because it's borderline inhumane to expect people to be throwing their bodies on actual steel grating. because they replaced that steel grating with there was not a mat, but like a padding.
It looks soft. Not super soft, but it looks like
it looked harder than the actual mat.
Yeah, but it
looks like it's a definite step up from like chain link.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so, but it's one of those. The only complaint that I have against that is because I want these people to be able to do what they're doing for as long as possible. I don't want them to have to be needing body replacement surgeries to be able to move around like Mick Foley, like Undertaker.
Ali Aber.
Wait, what?
And she didn't even get thrown into chain link or anything.
The hip and
stuff. Oh, yeah. Arthritis.
So I'm fine with that replacement. It's just in their marketing leading up to the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
It was all of the, oh, well, this is how dangerous it is.
Yeah. This is and more then, dangerous than the original Elimination Chamber, to which Asun, I was like, are they lighting it on fire?
Yeah.
That'd be the only way, because it definitely looked plusher. But that doesn't take away from the, I mean, but it's still a cool.
Like, yeah, it was still matte, at least. Like, it was at least as hard as the ring mat, if not probably harder.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I do still think it was that kind of metal underneath it, but.
And it was a good show. I thought it was a good show. Mm-hmm. WWE has been on a real good streak lately of entertaining shows with questionable booking. It continued here. Naomi beat Alexa Bliss for the title. I don't have a problem with that in the sense that I truly believe that Naomi deserves a shot with the title. She absolutely does.
Honestly, like, I was real mad when it happened just because I thought Alexa Bliss was doing great and I wanted to see her keep going with the championship.
It was like AJ Styles.
But then when her reaction to the crowd chanting, "You deserve it," like the genuine tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, that immediately kind of smoothed everything over.
It did for me. But I thought to myself, and I don't mean to be a pessimist, but I thought like, why do you deserve it? Because they did the same thing to Bray on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. It's like people, they're throwing those chants around a lot lately.
It's because they deserve it. Like, that's, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't every wrestler deserve it? So every time a wrestler wins the title, are we going to chant, "You deserve it"?
Naomi should have won the Divas Championship back at WrestleMania 30, but Oksana broke her eye socket.
Yeah. I also believe that Naomi should have won the title. Like, I don't disagree with that. I just, we're throwing those chants around every time someone wins, even if they're remotely popular.
Well, Bray Wyatt also.
True, though.
It is true.
You threw out two examples right there where both people definitely deserve a championship.
AJ Styles deserved it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they chanted it at him.
So
did they chant it at Mojo Rawley whenever he won the IC belt? Well, I mean, that hasn't happened yet, but if they do that, then yes, I will completely agree that they say it too much.
But like,
what has Mojo Rawley not done that Naomi has done to earn the title? Does he not work? Does he not show up and wrestle? Does he not give it his best, even though you don't like him?
The quality of his matches.
That's subjective. That is subjective.
It's not, though.
Some people take joy out of things that other people do not. I think that to say Naomi deserves it more than a Mojo Rawley is a mistake.
She's been working longer. She's a better worker. She is a better worker with her character. She is more entertaining.
What's her character?
Her character?
What's her character?
She has been a veteran diva for the last 5 years.
That's not a character. What's her character?
She dances around.
Feel the glow.
Yeah, feel the glow, yeah.
That's not a character.
It's a lot better than Stay Hyped. What's Mojo Rawley's character?
Cocaine.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah. I just wanted to see the look in your face when I started yelling.
Yeah, no,
I do it for fun. No, she absolutely deserves it. I just didn't want Alexa Bliss to lose it. Because
I'm like Ace, and I'm like
the rest of you. I feel like she's done so good. But
if there was
a single diva that deserved...
No, single diva, women superstar.
That would deserve to win, it was Naomi. It is Naomi. I'm happy she won it. I don't like what you said at the show, and I'm not going to repeat it. You know what I'm talking about? Why she won, and I hope that's not true.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true. If she loses it at Mania.
It's one of those things where I feel like it's just something that they will be able to tout out in like 3 years.
Yes.
With it, but.
She may be injured too. That's the big news.
And so it's hard, but we're not getting a whole lot of news on whether it's legitimate or just storyline.
Cause we thought Alexa Bliss got injured.
Yeah. Cause she got a couple real stiff shots to the rib.
Especially that last, was a split leg moonsault.
Yeah.
That was
I didn't
real
like
rough.
That.
Yeah.
Hurt to see, but yeah. But no, I like Naomi. I like that Alexa Bliss gave her the ultimatum. You either have to give me a rematch or give me the championship next week.
And there's a match. So
that'll be interesting to see.
It's good that she can boss around Daniel Bryan like that because AJ Styles didn't get that courtesy. Where's his one-on-one rematch for the title?
Did you see the promo that Alexa Bliss cut?
I didn't. I didn't watch anything from SmackDown.
It was really good.
That does not surprise me. She's done so well. She won our most improved of the year
at the
Zillow Awards. So there's no doubt. John Cena lost the title in the main event.
And that's not the thing we were going to talk about. That's not why I wrote Cena.
Oh,
you remember? You remember why I wrote Cena. Because Cena pinned The Miz after 1AA, he let go of his leg and started to stand up before the ref even counted to 3.
If you want to know the most bullshit thing that happened at Elimination Chamber, because I was not happy with Bray Wyatt winning for reasons I will explain. We weren't happy with Naomi winning only because we loved Alexa Bliss.
Yep.
But this was the most insulting thing And maybe we're wrong. We're not wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So maybe Billy Hills will tell us, well, it's not that big of a deal. But to us, it seemed like a big deal. Miz was on fire. He took one move, one attitude adjustment, and got pinned. Not only did he get pinned, but like you said, John Cena let go and started to stand up before the count of three.
Mm-hmm.
How insulting is that to The Miz? Bad does that look?
I'm playing it back in my head, and I really wish Miz would have realized it was happening and just kicked out. And then make Cena give him another AA.
Yeah,
because then at least, okay, you took two finishers.
Well, why not? I mean, AJ Styles took the AA and kicked out. That's ridiculous. I hate this storyline of, well, certain people can kick out. You can't now tell me that The Miz is a threat to anybody. You can't.
Especially not to John Cena.
That's, which, by the way, what's the proposed WrestleMania match?
John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and the Maurice.
Now, how are you going to
tell me Maurice?
My brain's turned off.
You pulled
there,
off of me. You went to the Walmart.
It's so upsetting. Because
they did do because the Natalya, Nikki Bella match went to a no contest, double DQs, count out. And they spilled powder all over Maurice backstage, which is it. Like, I mean, to be fair, like, that casual fan who doesn't listen to shows like this or go online, like, that was just kind of an incident that happened. Because the announcers didn't play it up. They didn't show that in a bunch of replays. Like, they just kind of, here's the thing that happened.
And they did later say that she was embarrassed backstage by Nikki Bella.
And then Cena, you know, pins Miz. So it's very, it's as subtle as WWE is going to get. It's just we are so ingrained in trying to know as much as possible with
We study everything.
That now we're like, oh, well, this is how that's going
to
happen.
Well, here's my question to you guys, and I'm going to go around the table because I want to know what you think. And I apologize for yelling earlier. I'm so sorry, Dalton. You look so sad now. Do you think the John Cena thing was a mistake? Like, do you think he just... It was an error. He just got up early. Mm-hmm. Or was he cognizant of what he was doing? Dalton, you go first.
I cannot think that he was cognizant.
You think it was a mistake?
I honestly think it was just because of the amount of, that match was not a slow elimination chamber. That was a pretty quick moving thing. And it's one of those, the man has done it so many times, you can't expect it to be perfect every time. It was a grave error. Like that, cause in wrestling, you're supposed to make everybody look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made Miz look like just the biggest pile right there. But as much as we kind of give Cena grief, I would like to think that wasn't intentional.
I hope so.
Think an intentional shot. Yeah.
I see you agree.
Same, yeah.
Allie?
Yeah, I think it was a mistake.
Well, here's my follow-up question of, is it on John Cena, even though it was a mistake? Should he even be doing things like that? The arrogant pin, the way you stand up at the very end of it. Is he selling it enough?
The pin itself wasn't arrogant. Like, he had the leg hooked. It was an actual pin. He just...
got up early.
Yeah, he just stopped it too.
So you just an error.
I really think because that like,
it's a bad error that just makes someone look bad.
And like Dalton said, like that was a very fast paced match.
Yeah.
Especially for a chamber match.
Yeah.
Because we have seen some
slow moving chamber matches.
And when it started, we're like, oh, they only have like 30 minutes.
Right.
And you know, then it's 25 minutes for the last competitor to come out.
Right.
Yeah. So they may have been rushed. We don't really, there's a bunch of stuff we don't know.
And a lot of it was good. A lot of it made sense. Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin looked good because he beat up a lot of people.
Baron Corbin looked amazing.
Yeah.
And then the way he took out Dean Ambrose at the end.
Because he got pinned before Miz showed up, pinned Dean Ambrose, or Dean Ambrose pinned him, beat the out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miz came in and just took
the pin. Well, because Miz was out, but then that's when they started to fight again.
Yeah,
he just stayed in his chamber.
And what I hate, the only thing I hated about the match, like, okay, I'll tell you why I didn't disagree with Wyatt winning, but I'll tell you why I'm scared about it.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I disagree with it is a mistake on my part.
Yeah.
But what I actually didn't like about the match was, aside from the Cena mistake, because I'll say that's a mistake, mm-hmm. what was not a mistake was the way they booked Miz, where he was too scared to come out of his pod to fight.
I get Baron Corbin,
and he's a cowardly character. I get it, mm-hmm. but who thinks it's a good idea to make someone look like they don't even want to wrestle?
I mean,
why would you be in the match if you didn't want to wrestle? Dalton, go ahead.
Royal Rumble 2 years ago, he went on the outside and was on the commentary table after he went in. Remember, I'm going to take Brock Lesnar to Mizny World.
But isn't that
that is the same exact thing?
The way they booked that, where he looked smarmy. And like, I'm taking advantage of it versus the sheer look of terror
him
in his face.
Him just actively being afraid.
I feel like maybe that wasn't even on WWE. Maybe they didn't tell Miz to do that. And he thought, well, I'll do it because it'll look better. But it looked bad
because it made
him look like pardon the language. He looked like a complete bitch the entire match.
If they were going to do the same character development that they were doing with the Rumble match where he just went to the commentary table, he would have gotten out of the pod, but he would have found a way to avoid him.
Or go back in the pod and kind of shut it and taunt him or something.
Yeah.
Like he would Sheamus
have,
did.
He wouldn't have just kind of like looked at him and like, oh, this door is open.
Like
now.
A deer in headlights.
I guess I have to wrestle now
in this match that I wanted to be a part of?
And
I hated it.
On the one hand, it kind of makes sense given how they've been treating Corbin.
Yeah.
Because they are treating Corbin like a legitimate threat. Like
they
he's
should.
Kind of yeah, as they should. And especially with that kind of verbal exchange they got into on commentary, mm-hmm. where Miz was just ripping him to shreds because Corbin really couldn't, like, Miz just thinks faster on his feet.
Right.
Talking wise than Corbin did.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like, oh, I don't want to mess with this guy. But like Ali said, I very much would have preferred him to go around and like duck beside the other chamber and start wailing on Wyatt.
Yeah.
While Corbin is standing in the ring with Dean Ambrose.
And there was, now that you mentioned that, I just thought of how many times did we see someone get laid out, or how many times did you see somebody laid out already? Mm-hmm. No one pinned them.
Yeah.
Like, in the terms of logic, Cena was out for 10 minutes.
Still not as bad as the Ascension breaking up a pin in the tag team elimination chamber a few years ago.
Yeah, that happened.
It's just bad booking. It's bad writing. I don't blame the wrestlers per se. Yeah. I more blame the people that write the show. And mm-hmm. like, it just looked bad. Bray Wyatt won, mm-hmm. which we were all sort of happy about. I was, and Dalton, me and you said we were going to argue about this. Now that it's settled in a little more.
And I have that Bayley match to argue about still, so.
Oh, no one's going to argue
No one's going to argue with you on that one.
Well, I need to yell, man.
I'm still not happy with Wyatt winning because I still feel like they had a chance to change the script. They had a chance to make it fresh, but they didn't. Instead, they chose to stay the course. This is the match we've all heard about for months, that this was going to be WrestleMania's main event. Now that I know the Randy Orton segment from SmackDown, now I'm a little more intrigued.
Oh, no, absolutely. They would have had to work, because I told myself, it's like, they're going to have to work really hard for me to really care about Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
Right.
And I say that as a huge fan of both of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't want to see a generic split between the two. I don't want to see Randy Orton like, oh, I was teasing you all along. I won you the tag team championship, but I was doing this to destroy you. Even though I led to the most success you've ever had in your 3 years here.
Right.
Well, just wait 5 weeks from now.
See, and I really hope they're not doing that, because this thing they did on SmackDown with Orton saying, as long as I am the servant and you are the master, I will not fight you at WrestleMania. Which the language he uses in saying that
already leads to,
kind of makes me think like he's going to, which like we talked about in the group chat this morning, we did a bunch of fantasy booking. Like, I would love to see Orton try to usurp Wyatt.
As the master.
As the leader.
And especially.
Well, that's going to be really hard when he holds the top belt in the show.
I want to give big credit to Randy Orton for that segment, because not only I thought he was good on the mic.
Yeah.
But his body language. Yeah. The way he kind of slowly kneeled down. Yep. You almost expected him to
pop
strike
up with that RKO. Yeah.
Like, that's great storytelling right there.
But let me.
Because Orton's amazing.
But let me just say, CM Punk and ECW with the New Blood, that was a thing. He joined the New Blood, which was all the bad guys, because it was all the newer guys against the originals. And then he was like, I'm part of the New Blood. I'm new here. And then after about 4 to 5 weeks, I don't know if it was actually right up before Rumble or Mania, because that was the match, was originals and Punk versus.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that long. I don't think it was that stretched out. And did he ever actually explicitly say he was in the New Blood?
Because I remember he tag teamed with them.
Well, yeah, but he did the AJ Styles thing too with Aces and Eights. Whereas, like, I don't remember him actively saying he was ever a member. He just kind of joined in with them loosely.
I'm pretty sure he was.
He destroyed them, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, and then he just ate in from the inside out.
Betrayed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my problem with Bray Wyatt winning.
And on the one hand, like, I agree with you, but for a different reason, just because, like, I'm super excited that Bray Wyatt's name is now officially on the list of WWE champions.
Yeah.
Again, he's a guy I definitely think deserves it.
Absolutely.
He's worked really hard. His character work is amazing.
It's off the chart. I don't think there's a better character in wrestling.
The writing might have gotten weaker from when he debuted, but I don't think that's his fault.
No. His mannerisms, his facial expressions.
The way they treated him were really weird.
Are amazing.
Yeah. So I'm excited there. It just goes back to the whole, okay, so we took the title off of AJ to just give it to John Cena, who then turns around and loses it a month later to, you know, the story looks like it might just be Wyatt just loses it then to Orton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just,
which would have been a huge
too
mistake.
Many just short reigns.
Yeah,
like,
I want to go on record again as saying that I hate that John Cena won the title from AJ Styles just to get that 16 title, mm-hmm. to just drop it 2 weeks later. Like, you could have done more with it. They could have done pageantry. They could have made mm-hmm. his title reign seem important. Well, and
like an actual
hunt,
like him coming back and like, okay, I want to earn a champion. I want to earn
tie
this.
Ric Flair.
I want to earn the 16th. Not, well, yeah, you say that I can't just come back and declare myself number one contender, but I just did.
And then they give it to him. They write his name down on paper to immediately take it off to give it to Bray Wyatt. And I swear, if you piss away Bray Wyatt's championship reign, did you see the segment on SmackDown?
They're not going
to
piss away. Oh, here's
you
what
see
is
that. You give them too much credit.
But they're not going to piss it away to John Cena. They're going to piss it away to Randy Orton. And then the time that he beats Ric Flair's record, it's going to be against Randy Orton at SummerSlam. He's going to win. Break Ric Flair's record.
Oh my God, do we want Randy Orton versus John Cena at SummerSlam?
No, of course
out of,
not.
Well, out of all of his feuds, out of all of John Cena's feuds that he's had over the course of his career, who is going to be the one person that he can beat 17th with that is going to mean anything?
AJ Styles.
Yep.
Here's why. Because AJ Styles has already become his best opponent. They put on better matches. AJ Styles, if he had beat...
Did I say best or biggest?
Well, no, hold on. Let me explain. If he had beat John Cena for the title,
uh-huh.
you know, and he kept the title, he didn't lose it to Cena, mm-hmm. then Cena could come back and say, I want my 16th reign, but AJ Styles is the conquering champion who's already beaten Cena. So now when Cena beats Styles, it seems important, and then he gets his title. Not just a throwaway, plus, well, I'm coming back because I want to be champion.
And honestly, AJ Styles I would put AJ Styles as one of the top names WWE has right now. Like, that
feud none.
Could easily be, like, AJ Styles' name belongs in the same echelon of John Cena, Randy Orton, Undertaker, of
yes.
And Brock Lesnar.
And I completely understand.
And to WWE's credit, they are treating him that way. Or they have been in the past few months.
But I get what you're saying. You're saying is that the 16th for the tie wasn't as important. The 17th will be the important one.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. No, keep going. You're antsy. Go ahead.
But what I'm saying is, like, yes, you are absolutely right about AJ Styles. He is up in that upper echelon. But whenever they go back in history, 20 years from now, when they talk about John Cena and his 17 title reigns, because it's going to be 17, maybe 18, whenever he breaks Ric Flair's record, they want the history books to say he beat it against Randy Orton, his greatest opponent. That's not true. He's had CM Punk.
WWE narrative.
But that's the WWE narrative. Because
but they could change that.
On Orton.
Yes, because Randy Orton and him have that those
traded
two,
the belt 15 times already.
Yes, that is the one that's been for the most. I could be wrong, but the most title switches between those two more than anybody else.
So what if
Edge? But I could be wrong.
So what if they do flip the script and at WrestleMania they just have John Cena fight Orton for the title? John Cena wins the Battle Royal and John Cena beats Ray Wyatt. I'm sorry for the title.
Gross.
At Mania.
Then yeah, no, that's not
Figure
good.
Show.
But I don't see that being the case.
Again, this is another one.
I still think they're trying. I still am putting hope into Harper. Getting added in, and it's a triple threat. So
he absolutely should.
You have Orton kind of join in to defend Bray Wyatt. And then so he's like, okay, well, I still won the Royal Rumble. Bray Harper might be number one contender, but I still get my Mania match. So I'm going to help Bray Wyatt.
It's a triple threat, but it's a handicap match.
Or
they can then switch at Mania. Mm-hmm.
Or how about go the other way and have Orton become the new leader and have Harper follow him?
I'm going to say it's really hard to do whenever Bray has the top belt.
Unless Orton wins.
Oh, we're talking about after Mania.
Like,
okay,
like,
my bad.
Luke Harper comes in, lays Wyatt out to help Orton win.
Harper deserves a single, like to be by himself.
I agree. If you would say there's a star that came out of Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. the easy answer is Bray Wyatt or Naomi because they won the title. Mm-hmm. But I think we would all agree that Luke Harper came out of
that
Elimination Chamber.
That match with Orton was amazing.
Off the charts. And he looks fantastic.
He took Orton to the limit. Like, he was presented really well.
It made him seem like a guy that could hang with AJ Styles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas a couple of months ago, he was an afterthought.
And that's my only complaint.
Don't
is that
ruin this.
He's been like, you know, he's kind of been that pin fodder.
Yeah.
Aside from, well, I mean, John Cena ate the pin in their tag match.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We got to keep going because we only got 20 minutes left. We got a lot of news to talk about. Let's just go through some of these news stories real quick.
Yeah.
Rosa Mendez is retired.
Yeah.
From
she
WWE.
Posted on Instagram that she's retiring from, I don't know if she said from WWE or just from wrestling.
I think from WWE.
Okay.
Which I'm willing to say is also going to be wrestling.
She just
had
a kid.
I don't see her going,
Well, she had a kid a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And congratulations to her. Take nothing away.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No,
she has never been the biggest character on the show. She was big on Total Divas in the last season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I never disliked Rosa Mendez. I never had a problem with her. So I will say that I'm sad to see her go because I think they could have done more with her.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's happy in life now, that's what matters.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. So that's what we'll say about that. We kind of went over Randy Orton's segment on SmackDown. Basically, it's that he said he would not fight Wyatt as long as Wyatt was champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to make the Mania main event so much better.
And yeah,
because you want to know what's happening.
Like I said, that's the hook that it got me. I'm real curious to see where they go with it.
Congratulations to Teddy Long, made into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Deserved. Yeah. I remember him from when he was a ref.
Yeah.
Back in the old days.
And he was a manager before that.
Yep. Yeah. And then he did the Holla Holla Holla, and he was SmackDown GM.
Was he a manager before he refereed?
Yep.
I thought
like in the territory days.
Okay. I was thinking.
Because
like,
was he in WCW as a referee or just WWE?
Both.
I think he started in WCW. I'm almost positive.
I'm pretty sure he did. And I want to say he may have even been a manager in WCW, but I don't know for sure. I'm probably
wrong. If he was, it would have been after. It might have been before, because NWA, I'm pretty sure, has been he was a manager beforehand.
He's always been very entertaining. His interviews are entertaining.
He gets a lot of flack.
I want to say Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
He gets a lot of flack.
Like, he got a lot of flack when he was GM because, you know, the, you're going one-on-one with The Undertaker, you're going one-on-one with Randy Orton.
It's a tag team match.
Which, that's not his fault.
That's the writing.
He's not the one making those matches, really. It's just, yeah. That's...
And in a story, he is the general manager making matches. The man was doing his job.
That's true. Yeah, it wasn't the wrestlers come out and say, well, I'm in this match now.
Daniel Bryan.
Danny Boy. Linda McMahon, the... No. She has been sworn in as the small business administrator for the Trump administration.
Which led to, Asa, were you the one that told me the kayfabe article from a couple months back? Where it was like, and in lesser news, Dixie Carter was head of this even smaller business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or failed business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Linda McMahon tried twice to run for office, failed both times, spent a lot of money doing it, but it does pay to be friends with Donald Trump.
A lot of people, blamed her campaign for what kind of led to the PG era and the kind of neutering of some of the content.
The WWE cares.
Which is honestly fine. Like, a lot of the Attitude Era stuff we look back on fondly, but a lot of it was also just too over the top.
Not even that. The Ruthless Aggression era was gross.
Yeah.
That's when you had the ECW rebirth, and some of those matches, like, don't watch them.
Yeah.
They're gross.
That's as much politics as I'll talk about.
And I think they've struck a real nice balance now with certain things. Like, you know, you don't have to, we're never going to see the return of chair shots to the head unprotected.
Good.
You know, I don't think we're going to have people cutting, you know,
bleeding all over the place.
I was going to say cutting promos, calling people, you know, homophobic slurs, I say that, but then Bill Goldberg did just call Jericho and Owens ladies 2 weeks ago. So
PG, ladies is a PG term.
Ladies is in the Bible.
There was a picture that went out today that a couple people tweeted and a couple people like told me about that was funny. I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Which one?
The picture of the McMahon family in the White House with Trump.
Oh, and the 46% of people in this picture have been stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's a true story, too. That is great. Oh, that's very funny to me. Lucha Underground has been confirmed going to Netflix. Like, legit, not just in Canada.
Yes.
This
We're
is in America.
Getting it. We're getting it.
Which we hope... I still hope, because they had that teaser or that leak happened a couple months ago, but this is from the Lucha Underground Twitter saying it's coming to Netflix. It didn't say US/Canada.
Don't tell me that.
It didn't give what territories it's in, but it's supposed to be like by the first half of 2017. So hopefully it is America, because I really, really want to watch all of it, like, legally.
Yeah, because I have the El Rey Network because I have Sling, which you have Sling as well, don't you? So you can also, but it only goes back to, I think, the second season.
And that's what it's going to be, is it's the first two seasons.
Good, good.
Which means you get Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, you get
Johnny Mundo.
You got Johnny Mundo, you get Brian Cage,
Aztec
you
Warfare,
get
the first Aztec
Prince
Warfare.
Puma.
You get Prince Puma, friend of the show. You also get one of, I thought, the better characters to come from a guy that no one really cared about, of Ezekiel Jackson in WWE. What was his name in,
Boss.
Yeah.
He was like the Rick Ross knockoff.
Yeah. And he just had the suit and he had the eye patch. Mm-hmm. And like, from what I understand, he did great work.
Yeah,
he did. Which is a fantastic.
There was I loved everybody from Lucha Underground those two seasons.
Sexy Star.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who won the title even. Mm-hmm. Like, spoiler alert. Yeah. So I'm excited to watch that. All right, so we got a funny story and a not so funny story. Let's go with the funny story first. Of Animal.
Well, this is when we get derailed.
So Road Warrior Animal, the Grammy Awards were on Sunday. Big shout out to 21 Pilots.
Yep.
Because they won for Stressed Out.
Yes.
And how did they accept their award?
They accepted their award in their underwear because before they were famous, they were watching the Grammys. Both of them and some of their friends. Apparently they were all in their underwear. And so Josh, one of the members, looked at the other member and said, if we ever go to the Grammys and win a Grammy, let's accept it just like this. And they did.
And they did.
And then he proceeded to say, you can do anything from anywhere.
I've had a, like...
Senior 21 Pilots correspondent, Ali Aber.
Yeah.
So the Grammy was on Sunday. A Tribe Called Quest did a great performance. I love A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. Right. Oh, they're so good.
Busta Rhymes was with him.
Yeah.
I'm an old school Busta Rhymes fan. And he called Donald Trump President Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say about it. But you know who had a big problem with it? The Road Warrior Animal.
Which is just a funny sentence inherently. It's just like...
Was he out of raw chicken to be on? Now, the context of that is when Dalton and I went and saw that unprofessional wrestling with Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
He showed this promo that they did for somewhere in Japan, and it did include, like, them both, like both of them, like gnawing on raw meat and like and
deer.
Raw chicken.
Yeah, there was a deer that was dead somewhere.
My God,
yeah, it was weird.
Well, he's
so he took.
Let's just say what he said. He
chewing
was
on that
Facebook.
Raw racism.
He was on Facebook, and this is what he said. Quote, I quote, "Once again, rappers ruin the Grammys." And by the way, I apologize if this is offensive. I do.
This is Road Warrior Animal.
This is his words, not ours.
His words do not represent the thoughts, the opinions and views of Podzilla 1985 or any affiliated networks.
Once again, rappers ruin the Grammys with that stupid song with words like resist and no one can tell you what to do. Having people of color, like Muslim, and Mexican come on stage, are you that stupid and cannot see that where all the drugs are coming from, the southern borders, or all the radical Islamic that promote death to America? Really? Well, legends, it's your relative using those drugs, IR, getting killed by terrorists, then you will get it. Insulting performance. Because they did make a very political statement on the show.
Right.
They clearly, I know who Road Warrior Animal voted for in the election.
Bernie Sanders.
He's getting rid of the heart of ISIS in Tijuana, the southern borders. Well, now people were offended by what he said.
People were mad.
Because they couldn't understand those words. So they complained to him. And he, what was his response to all of these criticisms of what he had to say?
I'm sure it's a well thought out, something like damn spell check. Was it damn spell check?
He did. And here, I'll tell you what, Dalton, well, no, I'll read it off real quick, but, I just got an important text, but it's unimportant.
Good thing we're in the middle of recording a show.
Yeah, I know.
Remember how, like, I started the show by throwing the phone?
You want me to read this statement or not? Do you want to know what Road Warrior Animal says or not?
Well, I didn't want to know the first part. You're going to tell me the second part regardless.
Here's what he said. He said, after reading what my post last night, and I won't read the whole thing, just the important part. Mm-hmm. After reading what my post last night on the Grammys, I see that I misspoken, and I am embarrassed. What I wrote is not what I was trying to get across. I should always do spell check on the manner in which I send my messages, and I don't for that. I am sorry. I was stupid. What I wrote by no means reflects how I actually feel. I am not a racist or a bigot, or think things that happen in certain parts of the country and they don't happen anywhere else. I am a realist. I should have chosen my words more wisely. For that, I apologize. I feel horrible for hurting anyone's feelings. And it goes on. He says, I'm not against people of color. I have nothing against people of Muslim faith. I should have double-checked my post. I should have checked my grammar. And should have
Does he think man, I really didn't like a Tribe Called Quest's performance. Did he think that, like, autocorrect can then just make that happen? Like, all he did was like, man, I really hated that performance, and then it turned into that. Like, that's not how autocorrect works. Even on iPhone, autocorrect is horrible.
It's not even autocorrect. It just sounds like he did the talk to text, and he just started ranting like someone's, like, drunk grandpa would.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
So that's just what went through. Because, yeah, it's like I really should have used spell check. I'm sorry I put IR and legends. That was incorrect.
Yeah, because I don't see how spell check is going to stop you when you say things like, the drugs are coming from the southern borders, or that radical Islamic promote death to America.
Right.
Like, radical Islam does promote death to America, but my God.
There's a reason it's radical,
but when
and
you
not
say,
representative.
Yeah,
of...
when you say having people of color, Muslim and Mexican come on stage using crazy words like resist and no one tell you what to do. Oh my God, Somewhere Hawk is just looking down going, I teamed up with Heidenreich.
Nope, that was Animal.
Shit.
Because Hawk was dead by then.
Hawk was the one that OD'd and by draws and fell off the top of the Titantron. Do you remember that terrible angle?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's Road Warrior Animal. If we had MF'er of the week again, you would be the prime candidate.
What a disappointment.
I can't say I'm mad. But I am disappointed. Okay.
Oh, man, that was a good joke.
I'm kind of mad. I mean,
well, here's the good thing.
You're just a racist piece of shit.
Yeah,
so.
But this is one of those situations where you don't even have to, like, argue it and say, well, no, he did this. It is plain for everyone to see that his BS excuse is just that. So screw Road Warrior Animal.
It's so exquisite.
I never even liked Animal. I liked Hawk. That's a true story.
I liked Paul Ellering.
Yeah, he's doing, okay. I agree. Now here's sad news. Vader, who has been dealing with health issues for a while, and we don't know.
A couple months ago, he said it 2 years to live.
Right. And we don't know what this means, but he went on Twitter, and this is what he said on his official Twitter. As I enter my final days, proud of the father, son, brother, football player, pro wrestler, the super heavy big man, GOAT, I'm grateful for the time. That is very cryptic, but it does sound like he's saying that he is not expected to live much longer. I have not seen Vader since he wrestled Will Ospreay.
Right.
And here's what I hate about the internet. The comments on here range anywhere from, Can we put him in the Hall of Fame while he still can? Which he absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame, 100%. By the way. Two, did Diamond Dallas Page not, was he not able to help him, which could be antagonistic, or, you know, maybe he legitimately meant it. Two, well, with my last breath, I curse Ospreay. Like, and it's funny, but I mean, come on, if someone's dying, especially a guy like Vader, if you don't have respect for what Vader has done for the industry, you're not a wrestling fan.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, no, I don't think anyone is questioning Vader's contribution to the wrestling world or his legacy.
Right.
The thing that it looks like people are calling into question is this kind of legitimacy of what he's saying. Because when he first said that he only had 2 years to live, he also said that he was going to other doctors to get second opinions because he didn't believe them. And other doctors said that he was healthy. There's a lot of weird.
It's up in the air. It's
confusing. This is a really weird situation that we don't truly know what's going on. We can only really take it at face value.
Right.
The more cynical of people are kind of leaning towards the. It's the same kind
attention.
Of thing from, you know, where he called out Will Ospreay, and then he ended up getting a match and a payday out of that.
And you can go back to a guy like Matt Hardy, who did something similar.
Right. And they're doing the thing now where they're announcing the names of the Hall of Fame. So it's, you know. Could this be some, like, and if it is, it's disgusting and it's terrible. Like, publicity grab, sympathy grab.
Right.
To get his spot now.
But you have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And you do, yeah.
Yeah. Because we said the same thing about Jimmy Snuka. Not that I would glamorize Jimmy Snuka, but when they said he was sick and that he didn't have long, I was of the mind of, oh, so he's in trial and now he's not going to live. And then he died.
Right.
So if Vader dies in a month, I think he should, one, be remembered as probably the best big man in wrestling ever. Mm-hmm. At least, if not the best, one of the best.
Definitely one of the best.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to give that to anyone other than Undertaker.
Yeah. But I think...
I don't think Undertaker would be where he is without Vader. Like, yeah. Vader was a pioneer.
They had great matches, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Because I was so sure they had wrestled, and then I looked at Dalton. The Dalton is basically an encyclopedia of wrestling knowledge. And he looked at me, and I was like, did he?
You know, I can't think of any high-profile matches off the top of my head.
So we're going to keep you updated on the Vader situation, but we really, you know, there's part of me that hopes this isn't fake because I don't like people that...
You hope that he wouldn't do this kind of...
For attention.
But
at the same time, it's like when Eddie Guerrero died, and I remember thinking, oh, please let it be a gimmick.
Oh, I am stupid.
I was going to say, didn't they have a WrestleMania match?
There was a Undertaker versus Vader casket match at a Madison Square Garden.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I am sorry for failing you.
You were fine. You were fine, my friend. Okay, one last thing before we talk about Raw. We're going to – there's so much to talk about. They're making an Andre the Giant biographical movie, a biopic.
Yeah, HBO and WWE are actually working together on it. It's being executive produced by Bill Simmons, who is the co-creator of the ESPN 30 for 30 series. It's going to be following his it's an in-depth look at his upbringing in France, as well as his WWE and Hollywood careers are going to be the focus.
Is this a movie or a documentary?
I hope documentary.
Teaming up for the... It says Andre the Giant documentary.
Good, because that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic.
That
because
makes
who do you get to play Andre the Giant?
The Big Show and some CGI.
Great Khali.
He wasn't a broom in the ring.
I feel like WWE makes terrible movies. They just do. Name one movie you've seen from WWE that you like.
They make terrible, terrible motion pictures. They do amazing documentaries that they tailor.
Say. Yeah.
But that's also still WWE Studios. This sounds like it's going to be other outside hands.
With them doing
it. Yeah, because if it's a documentary or one of those things, go back and watch the Matt and Jeff Hardy ones.
The CM Punk.
The CM Punk one is fantastic. The Triple H one is amazing. The Big Show one is great.
I still hold that the best wrestling documentary of all time, though, is Beyond the Mat. Allie started watching it with me tonight. We watched 15 minutes of it because we didn't have time to watch it all. But it is a brutal, honest look.
I'm going to disagree with you.
What do you got?
Only because I love the resurrection of Jake the Snake.
I haven't seen it yet.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, but it's also very
And I feel like that would be a good companion piece to Beyond the Mat. Because, of course,
a
huge chunk of Beyond the Mat is the Jake the Snake Roberts, who at the time was at his lowest point.
Because you literally have a 20-year gap in between that time.
Right, to see what's happened to him since then
and
the amazing
and
work he did with Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you need to watch it. I watched it
You know why I haven't watched it yet.
And that's why
why
it took me two years to watch it too, because of loyalty to you. But he has
I have an in with that movie.
Yeah, anyway. He has two parts and they were annoying, but I was able to get past it.
Let's talk about Raw. Let's blaze through it real quick. Roman, I know we can't, but my God. First off, Emelina made her debut.
Just to say that she's going to be Emma next week.
And I hate the fact that, hey, so what was the story you read about this? The reason behind
this is that she, couldn't impress the producers and like the people in charge of her segments and like, I guess, coaching her through the gimmick, because they were really looking for a new Sable and Cat character to be able to use on the show. And Emma it felt like she wasn't really committing. And gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because what was Sable and the Cat's character other than
half naked?
Yeah. And hot.
Sable, you could at least say that they really made her, not only was she half naked, but they did promote her as a wrestler, as a fighter. Because mm-hmm. she won titles. I remember she powerbombed Mark Merrill once. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. Kat was just god awful.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only claim to fame she has, Allie, literally, is that at one of the pay-per-views, she took off her top and exposed her bare breasts. Mm-hmm. It was the only time it ever happened.
In a pool match.
Yeah, and they got in a lot of trouble for that. I don't blame Emma one bit for not wanting to go along with it.
Why would you? So,
because I mean, my first thought was like, okay, they say she's not committing to it. I saw mm-hmm. the pictures of her at poolside in bikini.
What is she supposed to commit to?
She looks sexy. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that the goal? She looked completely sexy. She looked amazing. But she also had a great character before she left.
Yeah, the evil Emma was amazing. And so she comes out on Raw and says, it took 17 weeks to transform Emma to Emelina. Now you'll witness the transformation of Emelina to Emma. The only problem that I had, like, one, called it. Go back to any Pro Wrestling Unscripted where we talked about Emelina. Called it. I told you so. Second off, I'm a little bit worried that they're doing this on the one hand, because having your bosses, like, say that you're not committing to something that they want you to do, I mean, that's not a great thing.
No, that bodes badly.
Unless it's one of those things where it's like, okay, no, you know, you're going to be proven right by, like, not doing this thing. And you know, Vince likes when people stand up for themselves. So yeah. maybe it's a good thing like that, but it's just, we're gonna have to wait and see. The only other thing is that Meltzer has been talking about how this is just a running joke and there's no plans for her. So this could just be her off of TV for the foreseeable future.
I have two problems with it. One, you wasted everyone's time with the promos. Mm-hmm. I get at a certain point now you had to have a payoff, but if you don't want to do the gimmick, you can't just ignore the gimmick. Mm-hmm. So they had to do something. They could have done it in a better way. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, Dalton, I'm going to ask just this to you. In history, how many times can you think of a bad gimmick where the guy or girl comes out, says it's a terrible gimmick, refuses to do it, and then they carry the storyline from there? How many times has that been successful?
They didn't carry through with it, but the one that is glaring in my mind, and I think it's yours as well, is Goldust whenever he was seven.
Yeah.
And he just comes out and they come out and he comes out in like this really big elaborate.
Yeah.
Have we ever shown you the seven vignettes?
No.
You know Goldust, obviously.
Yeah.
We'll give you the short story and then we can show you after. But basically it's this big over the top.
He went
character.
To WCW.
Yeah.
This is when he left
the
WWF.
Goldust character.
After Goldust character.
So they're like, all right, we're going to do a more outlandish one. So instead of like an androgynous, Hollywood.
They were trying to do Undertaker.
But poorly. it was very also quasi pedophilia.
Yeah. Cause he's painted white. Like, he's basically chalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's wearing all black, like black bondage leather. He's got the hat.
But it was more of a trench coat.
He has a horse for some reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the videos were him staring into a little boy's room.
So, first night out, he comes out. His big debut, takes the mask off and is just like, what is this crap?
I'm dressed like Uncle Fester.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
buries it.
And it's funny with a Goldust voice because, he has that character that you know. He is from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is southern as hell.
I got another one for you, too, that I can think of.
All right.
Beaver cleavage. Allie's giving me a look right now. Okay. So basically, all right, there was Mosh and Thrasher. They were the headbangers. They were like...
They were on SmackDown fairly, in the last few months.
And I was so happy.
And they were like a punk rock and roll type thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So...
Beaver cleavage does not.
Well, because they repackaged him as Beaver cleavage. And they did segments where it was basically... Remember Leave It to Beaver? He was Leave It to Beaver, except his mom was super hot, her breasts were out, mm-hmm. and he would always make comments about her swallowing porridge, and like he was sexualizing his mother, who was actually his real life girlfriend. So he comes out, they finally debut him, and he's just like, this is the worst thing ever. And then it makes you wonder, yes, it is the worst thing ever. Just like Seven, just like Emelina, who thought this up in a production meeting and then decided to go with it for weeks just to go, never mind, that was a bad idea.
Because
of course
this,
it was.
Because this wasn't her, like, just saying, okay, yeah, actually, I'm not going to do this and walking off. Like, it very much, this was her segment. That's what she was supposed to do. When she said that and like, and now you'll witness the evolution of Emelina to Emma. Cause she wasn't in a bikini or like scantily clad. She was in a really elegant like nightgown.
Yeah. Like,
And so evening gown. I was really hoping she was going to take that off and have her evil Emma attire underneath it and then put the sunglasses on. That would have been amazing.
And it would have made more sense than her just walking off.
I mean, I didn't see this. Did she have the dark lipstick?
No, she didn't.
No,
she should have put that on and left.
Like, she could have put the lipstick on and walked off.
Yeah.
That is, you're writing the show better than they do. That's the problem.
And you have been watching wrestling for a little over a year.
Right. Also on Raw, and well, let's see what happens with Emma. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Emmalina's gone.
I'm hoping evil Emma just comes back and it's like they didn't miss a beat with her.
I
don't know really what to do with her.
I didn't even mind the Emmalina character if they can make it work right. And I said it before, if you have like the sexy supermodel who also kicks ass,
right,
that's fine.
Just make sure that emphasize the...
Her character isn't a supermodel. Her character is a badass.
Who just looks like a supermodel, which is what she is anyway.
Yeah.
Mostly the name Emmalina offended me. What a stupid name.
Yeah, why
name.
Add that on?
Emmalina. Roman Reigns.
Okay, so just power through this. Roman Reigns comes out to interrupt Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon says he's fired, suspended, who gives a hell about if he interferes in Braun Strowman's match with Mark Henry tonight because they hate each other now. So Roman is all like, I don't like you, boss lady, for no reason. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, your WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, they are the best tag team on the brand of Raw, come out to defend Stephanie McMahon because, sure, because again, we're on the same alignment, so we get along, we're friends now. That's how that happens. So they come out, and Stephanie McMahon puts Roman Reigns in a handicap match against your Raw Tag Team Champions of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. International superstars, international champions. Roman Reigns makes them look like little punks. The only reason because Roman Reigns wins the match because Gallows and Anderson ignore the count. They continue the beatdown after the bell, but Roman Reigns then overpowers both of them, beats them both down, and clears the ring of your WWE Tag Team Champions. These are two men who know each other so well and are so good at wrestling with each other, they are the best on the brand of Raw. But they can't beat one guy by himself.
But you left out one of the most important details. Roman Reigns.
I actually watched that with somebody that's never watched wrestling before. And her words coming out of it was, well, he's probably my favorite wrestler as of right now.
Well, she's dead to me.
Well, she was talking about one of the club, right?
No. Her words is, did they spray tan? It was really fun watching with a new person, yeah.
Oh, my God. This isn't the first time they've done that, where the tag champs lose to a guy.
And it's absolutely...
Also,
it's trash every time.
Every single time they do it. And now it's just even better because it's Roman Reigns. And
real quick, Dalton, and then I swear I'll get to you. But they wonder why no one, takes tag team wrestling seriously. They wonder why no one takes Miz seriously. They wonder why they can't get certain people over like Dolph Ziggler. It's because you keep writing this trash that makes them look bad. You can't tell everyone that these people are unimportant and then all of a sudden switch it and go, never mind, they are important now. Like they're trying to do with Bray Wyatt. And that's the biggest problem I have with that, was you have Bray Wyatt lose for the last 7 years and then all of a sudden you want me to believe that he is a viable champion just because you tell me he's the eater of worlds? Bullshit. I am not the eater of bullshit. Dalton, go ahead.
Yeah, and then later on in the night, he punked out Braun Strowman.
Well, of course he did.
He attacked Strowman. Strowman actually laid him out.
Oh, really? Okay, my bad.
I would have rather him beat Strowman because that maybe meant Strowman would win the match.
That's the ambulance for Gallows and Anderson. It finally got called.
It's on its way.
Yeah. It's going to be a long...
Oh, speaking
long...
of Strowman, apparently he got chewed out by Vince McMahon because when he confronted Kevin Owens, he said he wanted a title shot and not title match. So maybe if you care less about the minutiae of what single word someone uses and more on actual storytelling, we don't have to get this angry.
Well, remember when they had the big, remember when that leak came out?
One of the things they can't say.
Yeah, and they couldn't say belts. They had to say championships. They couldn't say wrestler. They have to say superstar.
Right. Yeah.
That is ridiculous that they're such Nazis.
And
with
then
the
Strowman just looked at him and said,
oh my God, Cape Girardeau.
That was the one for Gallows.
That was the one for Bray Wyatt's career after Mania.
Yeah, after Mania. And then Strowman looked Vince McMahon dead in the eye and said, sorry, I'll use spell check next time.
And Road Warrior Animal pops out. He takes the hood off and gives a big thumbs up. And then he has to go because he's got a
meeting. All right, so how much time do we have to talk about this Bayley match?
-6 minutes. So, Dalton, well, God, and then there's Jericho and Kevin Owens.
I cried.
That's the thing I want to talk about most.
Don't have the time for all this. Jericho and Kevin Owens. Let's do that first because I think the Bayley one is angrier.
No, this isn't even angry. I liked this a lot.
I did too.
On the one hand, like, I'm sad to see them end because I think this could have gone longer. I agree with you every time you mentioned that they do too much of the tease.
Yeah. No tease this time.
There really wasn't. This wasn't other than a tease. Just like Owens clearly felt unsettled. Triple H called him over and talked to him alone. And so like even the whole, that whole segment, cause it was a long segment, the Festival of Friendship.
Yeah. Not quite as long. Well, you know, what is, Allie, do you know what the most highly rated segment in wrestling history is?
No.
Dalton
phone,
does.
Phone a friend.
Phone Dalton.
Ring Dalton. What's the answer?
Oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
What's was, the answer?
We're negative 6 minutes. Just give the answer.
Oh, it was, This Is Your Life. It was a birthday celebration that Mankind gave to The Rock.
And it went on for like, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, and it was great.
And it's the highest rated segment. So this was very similar to it.
Live sex celebration was the highest rated.
That's what they want you to think it was.
It, and it may have taken it over, but for the longest time at least. Oh, we'll tell you about the live sex celebration later.
Edge won the world championship when he was with Lita. So the main event of Raw was they put a bed in the ring and then they went underneath the covers and he came out like with her. Yeah.
It was 2006.
You didn't actually see anything, but this
That's
was...
not true.
Unless you were in the UK.
No. Yeah, the bad part of it was when the blanket came up, Lita was topless, and they saw her breast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
So, that happened.
Loving the gimmick.
But the Festival of Friendship, he unveils this amazing painting of Jericho and Owens. It's the creation of man.
But he wasn't wearing
it's the
pants.
Two of them. It's art. You don't need pants.
Yeah, it was the creation of Owens.
Not supposed to be in pants anyway. Like, that's not...
Damn, that's what we get for having an artist here.
He had the he had a statue, a dual statue that cost him $7,000. Like, he's going on and on. He's got the sparkly fedora and silver coat with this, like, green scarf. Like,
they brought Gilbert back?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
They brought back Gilbert. But Owens
We'll
just
tell you
was,
about Gilbert later, too.
Owens just felt like... Owens just looked real uncomfortable, and he wasn't really having it. But then the last... 6 minutes of the segment are amazing. Jericho gets really, like, almost, like, emotionally honest. Like, you know, this is the best year of my career. It's because of you. I've had some great partners, but I've never had the chemistry that you and I have. You know, you're my friend. You're my brother. I love you. And it's just, it's actually, like, moving. And it's like, oh, this is great. And Owens kind of tells, like, you know, I love you too. I'm sorry, you know, that, you know, my reaction isn't the best, but I did get you something. He hands him a box. Jericho opens it up and he sees... It's a new list. My list is...
It's getting old.
It's getting beaten up. Yeah. It's getting thrown around. Yeah. Like, oh, finally. Why is my name on this? And then he tilts it just perfectly, and you see it's the list of KO. And Owens just brutalizes Jericho. The Reddit live, like the live reaction, someone put it absolutely perfectly in that we just watched a heel turn heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the times we give Dalton grief about turning a heel on, like having a face turn heel on like another heel.
Yeah.
This was just, Owens has some of the best. I know we just said about Bray Wyatt and like The Miz, but Owens' character work is
and Jericho.
Flawless. Jericho as well. The way Jericho sold it, like just the hurt in his eyes when he saw. It
looked
just,
like Owens shot his dog.
Yeah.
This may be one of my favorite versions of Jericho.
Yeah.
Of his entire
so, and
career.
Now we actually get like, we could, this is the way that you could, Jericho could do the exact same character, except now the crowd is expected to cheer him on. Like they already kind of have been behind him.
And not only that, but you know for a fact that at this point, you know for a fact that Owens is going to lose the title to Goldberg at Fastlane.
Can I tell you my hope against hope?
Yes.
Is that I really hope a super injured, like, I hope we don't see Chris Jericho until Fastlane, and he comes out, like, on a crutch and helps Owens beat Goldberg.
To try
as,
to win his friendship
as one
back.
Loss, yeah, but Owens just...
Well, that's my thought.
Because that was the, because it looked like that was the thing that really pushed Owens over the edge, is he's like, you know, I will have your back at Fastlane no matter what. You've beaten Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn and, everybody else who's put in front of you because I've had your back. And which is, has always complained about, like, no, I'm champion because I'm amazing.
And they could definitely do that. Like, that is a viable option. Again, this is a case where the WWE has put forth a storyline that we've known in advance. Right. And they could just continue it, which they probably will. Mm-hmm. Or they could switch it up. Have Jericho come out and try to win Owens back.
Yeah.
And Owens refuse. That could set up the Mania match.
Yeah.
Or what they'll probably do, this is my guess,
Jericho costs him
the match, and then Owens livid, they have a match at Mania. And to their credit, that match at Mania, if they book it right, don't book it like a match, book it like a war.
Yeah.
That would be a spectacular.
No
that
matter,
could be a show stealer.
I don't see, no matter how they book it, Jericho Owens could absolutely be the match of the night.
Which is better than what I originally thought was they were gonna have Goldberg and Owens go and then Jericho would accidentally cause him to lose.
Right, and the breakup come after that. But the fact that it's coming
much
so much before is way better.
But the big question is though is why?
And
Why?
Well, and it's, you know, the
they
whole
can set up for the U.S. title.
Triple H talked about, like, Triple H pulled Owens aside, so there's something there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, let's play armchair Booker for a second. Like, why did Triple H pull him aside? What did he tell him that would cause Owens to turn on Jericho?
And that's the thing. Like, I'm not sure. I honestly don't think Triple H really had anything with it. Because
they could even just say Triple H could just look at Jericho and say, "I never liked you."
Because in my head, like,
my wife never liked you.
Owens already had that clipboard as his gift. Like, that was ready to go. He didn't just do that in the 20 minutes before the Festival of Friendship started.
That's true.
So.
Damn, you're thinking harder than the rest of them. Okay, so that was a great segment, and yeah. I am now officially jazzed for Jericho versus Owens.
Again, it, like you said, the Jericho Owens and the Orton Wyatt, we knew this was coming, and they made it intriguing. So props to them.
All right, Dalton, Bayley won the title on Raw. Tell me. Bayley won the title on Raw. Are you telling me that Charlotte lost another title match on Raw?
We don't have time. I want to save it for after Fastlane to see what happens.
You know what's going to happen at Fastlane. Charlotte's going to win the championship back.
And that is what I want to yell about because this is...
You know how you save it? You don't have a women's match on... you don't have a women's match on Fastlane. Or a women's title match.
Yeah.
You do like a Bayley-Sasha tag match with Charlotte and...
Nia.
Dana Brooke or Nia Jax. Yeah. Then you have... Charlotte keeps her streak going. You have them win that match. So your WrestleMania match is Bayley goes in the defending champion.
But can I ask you a question? And this is just personal taste. Mm-hmm. Would you much rather Bayley win the title at Mania or defend the title at Mania?
Now, defend.
Okay.
If Bayley is coming in as just a former NXT Women's Champion and that's it, absolutely have her win the belt at Mania the first time. That's Charlotte's first loss. That is the ideal situation.
Let me put a caveat on it. Monday didn't happen. Charlotte still has the belt.
Yeah, still. You put Bayley go in and win the title at WrestleMania.
Yes.
That is the best.
Yeah, but
way
now
to
having her defend it, if they do what you just said, which is a very smart thing to do, and then have Bayley win at Mania and defend, I do not like that she is defending at Mania instead of winning at Mania.
And here's the problem with it. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
One, this is another storyline that leaked that everyone, as of right now, knows that they want Bayley to win the title at Mania.
Defend.
See, I didn't
know
that.
They want her to win it at Mania because they think it'll be a big moment.
The only thing that I had seen is that Charlotte would break her WrestleMania streak or her pay-per-view streak would end at WrestleMania.
And that makes, if they're going to go through with that, mm-hmm. and if Bayley loses the title at Fastlane mm-hmm. and then wins it again at Mania, why? What was the hot shot reason?
Yeah.
Why would you not give Bayley her moment at WrestleMania? That is a WrestleMania moment.
I've actually been thinking about this, and I think the defense to this, and tell me, and if I feel like, if I sound stupid, let me know. Not just you guys, but, you know, people listening.
Yeah.
I think it is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to show Charlotte as vulnerable sometimes. They're trying to make her look beatable. It's just what she does is she kicks it up a notch at pay-per-views. There's just something about pay-per-views.
Like the Undertaker.
It's like Undertaker at WrestleMania. There's just something about these pay-per-view network events that she kicks it into high gear and always gets the job done. But
then she is one of the most ineffective champions in the history of WWE.
Hey, Dalton, have you met my friend Shinsuke?
Yeah, no, and I hated that too.
No, yeah, that's
like
terrible.
No, like
or my sister Sasha,
or your buddies Sheamus and Cesaro.
They're back here.
Yeah. I think I heard the knock on the door.
Yeah. Hey, at least American Alpha gets strong wins.
All right. When
they remember that they have the championship.
Here's what's gonna happen. Bayley will lose the title at Fastlane because Sasha turns on her,
mm-hmm.
and that will set up a fatal four way at WrestleMania: Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Nia Jax. Which Charlotte will win thanks to help from Dana Brooke, and they will crown Charlotte the queen of wrestling forever.
And the only reason that I don't know, I...
Because Vince McMahon gets such a hard-on for Charlotte.
I would rather see...
I'm surprised. He probably has a ring around it.
Is it a wrestling ring?
Yes. Yeah.
A little turnbuckles on it.
Lovers.
The only reason I'm saying, like, Bayley defends the championship at WrestleMania is because then you could have that Charlotte, like, okay, I got the, like, even have Charlotte pin Bayley at Fastlane, like, if they do the tag match route. You can have that if they decide to do a one-on-one match, because it's notorious WWE to have a multi-woman match.
Right.
You could still have the Sasha turn. You could still have Nia involved. You could still have Dana Brooke involved. But if Bayley can pin Charlotte at WrestleMania, that kind of really cements her as belonging there.
You could still have your moment where Charlotte lost her Mania match and
yeah.
they proved that they could beat her.
But my only complaint on that is it almost makes it feel like Charlotte's pay-per-view streak is more important than the women's title.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of that. I would rather lump both of those in, but.
And they have so far.
Yeah, but Monday's happened. And so.
Monday's
the ideal storytelling, which again, like, yeah, it would have been predictable, but you can't deny that watching Bayley get her first women's championship at the expense of Charlotte at WrestleMania wouldn't have been a great moment.
That would have been a better moment than her winning on Raw thanks to her cheating by Sasha Banks.
Getting her second championship.
For no reason.
Yeah.
And then needing Sasha to help her win.
Yeah.
So, terrible. It's terrible.
We'll still see how it goes.
We're intrigued at least.
If they do like how I laid out, like I think personally, maybe it's because it was my idea. I think that would be interesting. I'm not saying that there's not an interesting way to get away with it. I just think that they've shot themselves in the leg for what could have been the most satisfying payoff.
Yeah, because right. Her winning her first title at Mania would have been a lot
because they
better.
Wanted to hot shot it. They knew they would pop a rating because the Sasha Charlotte matches were so successful. Mm-hmm. They wanted to let lightning strike twice with Bayley, and Bayley's great too. Mm-hmm. Bayley also deserves it.
Yeah.
But man, they really wasted a moment.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I just think that they are trying to make.
Because in my head,
they've wasted a moment. They've wasted three times before.
Well, here's why. Here's why I am pissed about it is because in my head, I keep thinking they don't want the WrestleMania moment for Charlotte mm-hmm. or for Sasha. They didn't want the moment for Bayley. They want the WrestleMania moment to be for Charlotte, for her to show how she is supreme female wrestler. And I don't agree with it.
But she got it last year too.
Yeah, she got it last year.
She'll get it every year. She's gotten it every time. That's the problem.
And to be fair, like while we are annoyed with how they're presenting these,
she's good.
These championship changes. Really frustratingly, Charlotte is a fantastic wrestler.
She is. She's a great character. She's a great wrestler. There have been times you can't deny. There were times that, especially the match with Sasha at, I don't remember Dalton, which one it was, where she was just sloppy, where she dropped her on the ropes.
Hell in a Cell.
No,
the one before that. Oh, Jesus.
Remember she had her on the top.
Backlash? No, that was SmackDown. That would have been.
That match. Yes, Sasha went too hard, but Charlotte was so sloppy in dropping her multiple times. She looked unprofessional. But everybody has an off night.
Say, but you can't like John Cena has nights like that. Randy Orton has nights
we just
like
talked
that.
About
John
one of his
Cena
nights.
Has nights where he gets up before the pin's over.
Yeah, so I mean, it's par for the course. It's unfortunate to see, but no one can say that Charlotte isn't a great
deserving
wrestler.
Champion.
Yeah, and she absolutely is a deserving champion. It is just frustrating to see these constant hot-shotting titles, especially now that it seems like it is seeping out into every other corner of WWE.
That is, yes, I'm so glad you said that, because to me, that is the biggest problem right now.
With the WWE Championship, the NXT Tag Champions, the NXT Champion, you know.
Almost every title right now in WWE land, except for Kevin Owens, has been hot-shotted around in the past year.
And to be fair, like, the WWE Championship is recent. AJ Styles had a great run.
Yeah.
More than 100 days as WWE Champion.
True.
Asuka is killing it as Women's Champion.
That's true.
Alpha, the SmackDown Tag Champion, I thought was doing a good job, minus that weird.
Minus them just kind of forgetting.
From,
and then,
like, giving it to Wyatt and then immediately American Alpha.
They're treating the SmackDown Championship, they're treating it like the Women's Championship 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just throw them in matches, doesn't matter against who, just put a bunch of people in there and have them win.
Yeah.
That's what they did with the female matches. Let it go 6 minutes, there's eight women in the ring,
right?
Everyone hits their finisher, whatever. I wish there was more attention to it. We're gonna get out of here in just a few minutes. A couple last things. One, I don't think we mentioned that Chavo Guerrero Sr. passed away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to mention that. I meant to mention at the front of the show, but then we did the Kendall Jenner joke and it kind of slipped.
Was it worth it?
No. No.
Dumb question, and I think this is more for Dalton. Did he win the WWE light heavyweight championship? Because he came back briefly on SmackDown.
Chavo that Classic.
That would have been Classic.
The Cruiserweight Championship.
Was okay.
But I don't have an answer, but I feel like he did.
I feel like, well, I remember one of the pictures I saw of whenever they're like, you know, Chavo Sr. passes away, was him with the WWF Cruiserweight belt. Dear Lord.
Well, Dalton looks that up. Again,
Charlotte at Backlash.
We just want to express our condolences. It's a loss to the wrestling world. Chavo Guerrero was a great
wrestling royalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One last thing, and then we're out of here. We were going to talk more about this, but you know what? At this point, I don't care. Brock Lesnar announced his retirement from the UFC, from MMA altogether, and good riddance.
Yeah.
Good riddance. I was a fan of Brock Lesnar as a MMA fighter, but I never thought he was the best ever. Mm-hmm. He looked like $1 billion, and he was a tough son of a bitch. But he has been – if he had retired after his diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis, yeah.
If he had – retired after that because he couldn't fight anymore because of physical reasons, I would have given him 100% credit. But he came back, and I would have actually said, well, that's good on him for coming back. But then how he came back with the doping, the fact that the victory was taken away from him now, he is now shamed in the world of MMA. This, of course he's not coming back.
This is a very much just a, like, okay, well, I went out of my UFC contract, so now that the USADA has no reason to test me anymore.
Yeah.
And you know so Vince won't.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Well, you don't test part-timers. It's not, exactly. That's not fair to
he
them.
He wasn't wrestling on that show when they did that. I am so over Brock Lesnar at this point. I think we all are on the show.
I have been for a while.
I still think he can make a comeback after if he puts on a good show.
After last year's WrestleMania, where he did nothing with Dean Ambrose, and it was all because of, oh, well, I have to protect myself from my UFC fight. Yeah, no, you're at WrestleMania. That's
bigger.
Man. That's BS.
So he's done. He is now, I guess, just going to be a part-timer in WWE from now on. Woo. I hope you like suplexes. German ones at that.
Yeah. Chavo Guerrero did win the WWE Cruiserweight Championship one time. So yes, that did happen.
What year? Does it say what year that
2007.
Was? 2007. Okay, yeah. Because I knew that was when he was coming back, like, as Chavo Classic. Like, that wasn't a...
That was a good gimmick, too.
It really was.
Yeah, I liked it.
That's gonna do it for us on PW tonight. I want to remind you guys, head over to redbubble.com and look up those PW shirts because they look really nice. They're in the NWO style. I'm very happy with them.
Kylie Jenner's probably going to wear one.
That was Kendall Jenner. Kylie's the hot one.
Kylie might wear one, too.
I would rather Kylie wear it because I'm a fan.
They share clothes.
She's with.
Did you not see the 4-hour E special on their closet tour?
Not this one.
Oh.
Why are we talking about this?
And of course, you can go to Podzilla1985.com. Listen to all the old shows. Check us out on iTunes, Facebook.com/Podzilla1985 as well if you want to give us a like. Share some love. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark, the hottest new show on the Podzilla Network. Dalton, you going to be around for that one? I got some questions I want to ask you.
I don't get off work until... What's it? We'll talk about it.
It's about toys.
Also,
we're going to talk. No, only. I need only.
Also, real quick, patreon.com.
Yeah.
/Podzilla1985. Every little bit helps. We'll put your name on the website for any amount, and we will do a plug if you want us to for just $10.
Short of what PewDiePie did, though. We won't do that.
No PewDiePie plugs.
No.
No Road Warrior Animal.
Road Warrior Animal is just like, I need you to clear my name. Yeah, you guys know how to write.
We'll read your apology again.
Road Warrior Animal is on the internet right now. He's about to hit internet, and he's like, damn it. All right, so that's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow with Prodzilla After Dark, PZ85, 1985 AD. I love it. What did I say?
Prodzilla.
Prodzilla. Well, Dalton, you'll find out why tomorrow. Have a good night, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.